Bless the Lord. Amen. Wonderful to be here this morning with you. I give you greetings from Sydney, from our church, which is called the Living Hope for the Nations. We went from the Italian Life Centre when Charlie took the post over at Liberty Hill, another Italian-Australian church. And really, my vision is really to reach all nations. That's the vision. And we've had some degree of success, and then we've had through, we've gone through a few problems. Like every church goes through, the same routine, because there is one person who doesn't like the church, and that's the devil. But thank God that Jesus loves his church. Thank God that he is for the church. He is for us. Therefore we can rejoice. I want to, just before I just get into the word, first of all, I want to thank God for the fact that I'm here. It hasn't been easy for the past couple of years, and you'll realize why. I want to thank God for the fact that I'm here. The other thing which I want to acknowledge this morning is your pastors and you as the church, you have been praying for me whilst I was going through a pretty horrible time. So thank you for praying for me, and thank you for continuing to pray for me, because I need all the prayer I can get. Amen. The person who says that he doesn't need any prayer is only fooling himself. I think we all need prayer from one another. And when the church gets together and prays, then things happen in the spiritual realm. Because remember that in Ephesians chapter 6, it says that our fight is not against flesh and blood. It's not against each other here. Our fight is against the powers and principalities of the air. And we need to fight with the same weapons that God has given to us. If you recall in Luke chapter 4, Jesus says when he was tempted in the desert, for 40 days and 40 nights he went without food, without water, and then the enemy came right at the end of the time and started tempting Jesus. And Jesus was able to reply with the word. When the devil said to him, you're hungry, why don't you just get the stones and change them into bread? And Jesus answered and said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And there'll be times in which we can be tempted, we can be tried, but God is with us. Praise God. And I'm so glad this morning. I'm so joyful, because I know that you as a church are going somewhere, right? You're going somewhere, and you'll continue to go further and further as you trust in God. The problems will come, don't worry about that. The problems will come, and perhaps even bigger problems than what you've had. But remember what James says, rejoice when you go through problems. Right? Rejoice. Don't get this bit, but rejoice. Because God is with you. And I'm so glad that God is with you. Praise God. And this is the International Church. This morning I was able to meet the brother from Nigeria. He's like a jack-in-the-box. I thought I was a jack-in-the-box, but he's actually beaten me, 50 to 1. Then I met the sister from Greece. So we exchanged a couple of Greek words. Does anybody know what the word kunelaki means? Oh, you know, no, okay. Little rabbit. My best friend is Greek, and he calls me, because I'm little, he calls me little rabbit. Kunelaki. I bet you're so excited to know that, aren't you? So I really want to thank this community for the prayers again. And this morning, I just want to share a little bit of my story that I've been going through the past 2 years. So let's just read Matthew 8, 23 and 27. Matthew 8, 23 and 27. A few verses. And by the way, if you know Pastor Charlie, my brother, he sends greetings to you. He hasn't been around for here for quite some time, like me, because he too has gone through the ringers, as it were. So he's gone through his own problems and issues. But thank God that he's still standing. Amen? Amen. So Matthew 8, 23 to 27. And it reads like this from verse 23. And I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. When he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being covered with waves. But Jesus himself was asleep. And they came to him and woke him, saying, "Save us, Lord, we are perishing." He said to them, "Why are you afraid, you men of little faith?" Then he got up and he rebuked the wind and the sea, and it became perfectly calm. The men were amazed and said, "What kind of a man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" What kind of a man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for this opportunity to be in this place. I pray, O God, that your Holy Spirit, as it has already happened, Lord, as we have already sung, that a miracle is happening. Lord, we thank you that you're here in our midst this morning. And we thank you that your Holy Spirit is leading us and guiding us. So speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, speak so that we can see your reality and your touch in our lives. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. There are storms of life happening to all of us. These storms come in different sizes and shapes, in different ways. Could be arguments, people disagreeing, you got sickness, financial problems, you name it. The storms of life are with us all. And we can picture that our life is like the boat. When you're in the boat, you're definitely going to face the storms. And the key is to make sure that Jesus is in the boat with us. I don't want to be in the boat by myself. I want to make sure that Jesus is in the boat with me. And in the boat of life, you need to make sure that Jesus is with you. Because in the natural, doesn't matter how strong we are, doesn't matter how intelligent we are, doesn't matter how wise we are, there will be a time when the storms will be too strong for us to handle. And we need Jesus in the boat. And so I'll give you a couple of quotes from this pastor called Corky Calhoun. I don't know if you guys have heard of this pastor. He's in America. And he said this. He said, "The greatest testimonies for Jesus are never spoken in the calm. They're never spoken when things are going so well and so peaceful and so forth. It says, but are always spoken in the midst of the storm." Something else that he said, "Everyone wants a savior, but very few want Jesus to be Lord." Jesus as a savior is the unconditional love of God for us. as Lord, he is the unconditional obedience of his children. In other words, a lot of people that excited, they get excited about receiving Jesus, praise God, amen? But then we have difficulties in accepting Jesus as our Lord, as our boss, as our master. And that's where the obedience comes into it. That if we recognize Jesus as Lord, then we need to be obedient to him. We need to be obedient to the Word of God. I'll give you another one from the same author, Corky Calhoun. We cannot control the darkness. We cannot control it. But we do get to control how strong the light is in us. We cannot control the darkness, but we do get to control how strong the light of Jesus, that is in us. So, as I said, in life there's thorns. You don't need me, you know, this little guy coming from Sydney telling you that there's storms in life. Because, look, you have been through, you're going through, you will go through. But I want to tell you that with the Lord, we can face every storm. And it's a great lesson for us. With Jesus, it doesn't mean that we will have to go through the storms of life alone. But with Jesus, we can go through with him. He promised us that in every situation or difficulty, he would protect us and help us. Why? Because he said that he would be with us in the boat of life. And here's a little bit of my story. I want to tell you that in the storm, fear can come. Doesn't matter where you're at. When you're in the storm, there's fear that grips over you, over me. And the enemy will try and increase that fear within us. So if you're sitting, for example, many of you are students, if you're sitting for exams, you'll know for sure, because I went through it when I done my university degree. Well, every time I approached an exam, there was fear gripping me. How will I go into the exam? It doesn't matter how much you prepare yourself, there is always that fear. So at times, I used to dream that I was going to fail all the exams. And then when I went into the exam, I realized that it wasn't as bad as what it seemed. So fear comes whilst the storm is there. And it makes us lose trust in God. Some people say that fear is the opposite of faith, and it's true. Faith gets you close to God. You begin to trust God. Fear, it makes you ask questions of God. It makes you doubt God. And this fear brings into repute the character of God. If God is so good, why am I going through these storms? If God really loves me, why am I going through these situations? God knows, we don't. So fear, it seems to release infinite doubts and stops the memories that we've had of what Jesus has done in our lives previously. And that's what the disciples had to face. They were in the boat, the storm came, and all of a sudden they forgot that the King of Kings was in the boat. They forgot that Jesus was in the boat. And so the fear made them forget what Jesus had done previously. He cast the demons out. He healed the sick. He preached the gospel. He fed the multitude. They had completely forgotten that. And we need to understand that when we are in the storm, there is only one person that I want to hang on to, and that's Jesus. And so fear creates a kind of spiritual amnesia spiritual forgetfulness. He has the power to erase, to take away everything that God has performed in our lives when he moved towards us, when he performed miracles in our lives. And what Jesus did for us and how good God is. I want to tell you this morning, whatever you're going through, that God is a good God. And that God loves you. And that God cares for you, whether you understand it or you don't understand it. That's why we must let the doubts be removed from our lives, from our minds and our hearts. And allow the faith to rise in us through the Word of God. And the Bible teaches us that faith comes by watching TV. Faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. That's how you get faith. That's how I get faith. Hearing by the Word of God. And that, and our, it's our faith in God that will lead us through and out of the storms. I have been a Christian for over 40 years now. And we've had problems, ups and downs. Some people say that if you haven't had any problems as a Christian, perhaps you're not a Christian. But there's all kinds of problems, and it was so removed from my mind what was going to happen a couple of years ago. So I'll quickly get you through the events of 2016. Some of you, of course, know my story because I've shared with you a little bit. 2016 had been going very well. Maria, my wife, and I, we went to New Zealand for 2 weeks and we had such a ball of a time. Is anybody coming from New Zealand? I pray that God will give you some New Zealanders. Their country is so beautiful, so pretty. We loved it. And then we had in the church, we've had heaven's gates, hell's flames, and people came to God. People have given their hearts to God. And things seemed to be going very, very well. Then, because I had a couple of Sri Lankan people in our church, they had gone back to Sri Lanka. They said to me, Pastor Tony, we want you to come to Sri Lanka. And I kept on shifting and saying, okay, I'll come. If the Lord opens the door, I'll come. Well, it just so happened that God opened the door, and in April, I went to Sri Lanka for 2.5 weeks. And then I came back through Singapore for a couple of days to relax and try their chili crab. Has anybody tried the Singaporean chili crab? Praise God. Lovely. I loved it. And so everything went well, and I came back to Australia, and we've had a musical concert with the band Iron and Clay there in the church. And of course, I was just about to pull the pin on the job. And I said, okay, God, it's time for me to start working for you. And in my mind, in my heart, I wanted to work for God full time. So I was going to, in fact, retire, which I did, by the way, on the 1st of July, 2016. It was so removed from me what was going to happen in the next few months. As I said, everything was going well. But we must remember one thing, that we are in the Lord's hands. If you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, I want to tell you that you are in God's hands. Doesn't matter what you're going through, you are in God's hands. Sometimes the unbelievers, the atheists, they think, oh great, I can just simply just go through life by myself because there is no God. I want to tell you, whether they want to admit it or not, they're not in control of their lives. God is. One day they will have to die, and they do not know when. But God is in control. So it's good to know that we are, as believers, that we are in the Lord's hands. And He determines, God determines when and how we will go with Him. And He also has a perfect plan for us. He has a perfect plan for me, a perfect plan for you. And he asks us to be obedient to him. I cannot tell you what's going to happen tomorrow, but God knows what's going to happen tomorrow. And so we must find God's purposes and God's plan for us. If you recall in Acts 13, this is what God says of King David. He says that he found the will of God, the purposes of God in his life, and he fulfilled it. That's what we need to pray for our lives. Doesn't matter how young or how mature you are, we need to find the will of God for our lives and then fulfill his purposes. And so then all of a sudden the storm hit. On the evening of the 15th of August, I've got these dates because it's very important for me to tell you what these dates were. And I thought, oh, great. I was washing my teeth. Does anybody wash their teeth whilst they go before bed? Of course you do, don't you? So I started washing my teeth and all of a sudden I felt that there's a little piece of tooth, like tooth decay, that fell. And I looked to myself in the mirror and said, man, you must be getting old. And that's part of being old and growing gracefully, that there's a little bit of decay. And I said to myself, I'll better go to the dentist tomorrow. But the following day, whilst I was eating and chewing, I felt a sharp pain on the left side of the jaw here. And I thought, well, this is not natural, because I didn't feel any toothaches. But I felt a tension, like really strange, going up all to the left side of my face. And the pain was strong enough for me to go to the doctor. And so I did. And of course, when I went to the doctor, he gave me the antibiotics and said, Tony, you know what you do? You should, in fact, go ahead and have these antibiotics for 2 weeks and then come back to me if you feel better or differently. So I did. 2 weeks went by. I went back and I said, Doctor, the things is exactly the same. Of course, in the meantime, I was praying. And so he gave me another set of antibiotics. And I went for another couple of weeks. And when I went back to him, of course, in the meantime, he had sent me to have the ultrasound. And the ultrasound showed everything clear. I didn't think I was going mad because the pain was there. And there was also a little bit of growth on the left cheek here. So after the second round of antibiotics, he sent me back to have x-rays. And so I went and had these x-rays. And the radiologist said, okay, let's just do this. So he goes the first time around and nothing shows. Everything is clear. And then she goes from where I was in the back room and starts talking to the radiologist, and the radiologist said, no, just give him some fluid so that, you know, with that fluid, you know, we'll be able to show a little bit more. And, of course, when she came out, she said, I'm happy with this x-rays now. So I said, okay, but when can I come and pick up these x-rays? And she said, let me check. I said, I can come tomorrow morning. And she said to me, no, come this afternoon. This was around about 2 o'clock. Come this afternoon before 5 and go and see your doctor straight away. Uh-oh. Something was happening. And that's how fear sometimes comes. And I kind of felt, well, Lord, what's going on here? This doesn't seem to be natural. Anyway, so I went out of that place and I started praising the Lord. I said, Lord, I'm going to thank you. I'm going to thank you because I know that you're with me. I don't know what this is all about, but you know what? You know, we as human beings, we tend to discard things. So I came back around about 5 o'clock to pick up the x-rays. And when I picked up the x-rays, the secretary said to me, oh, thank you that you have come. The doctor said that these were urgent, so go and see your doctor first thing tomorrow morning. Oh, there's another whack, if you like. Fear seems to come in again. And then the Saturday morning, I get a phone call from my doctor around about 6:30 in the morning. And I picked up the phone and didn't really register. I was still half asleep anyway. And my wife said, "That looks like it's the phone number of the surgery, the doctor's surgery." I said, "Okay, if they want me," I said, "you know, they will come back again." So a few moments later, she rings back. And so I went to see the doctor. And the doctor explained to me that what the report said was that there was this huge mass behind my, between the cheekbone and the brain, that how it got there, nobody knows. But they said that that it could have been sarcoma, which is terminal cancer, could be lymphoma, or it could be a growth. And I said to myself, where did this thing come from? And I kept on praying. So the doctor said, "You have to go and see the specialist, blah, blah, blah." So I did. So when I went and showed the x-rays to the specialist, he looked at it and said, "I've never seen anything like it. In all the years of practice, I've never seen a thing like this." And I said, "Well, that makes the two of us." I could have told him, but he wouldn't believe me. So he says, "We can't determine exactly what it is. So we need to go through day surgery and we have to have a biopsy." I said, "Okay, not a problem." So I went through the biopsy, the surgery. It took about half a day. And when I woke up, the doctor comes and says to me, "Well, what would you like to hear? The good news or the bad news first?" And I said, "Give me the good news first." Meantime, my wife and Charlie, who were with me, they were praying. I was praying too. And he said, "Well, the good news is that it's not terminal cancer." Hallelujah. Said, "But the bad news is that it's a lymphoma, large cell cancer." And I said, "Okay." Amazingly, like you're dumbfounded. You know, you go through these things here, but there was kind of a peace in my heart. A fear, of course, but there was peace in my heart. Because I know that whether we live or whether we die, we're going to be with God in any case. So I said, "Okay, that's fine." So what do we have to do? And he said, "You just go and see the hematology professor at RPA in Sydney." So I did. So he comes Monday morning and I'll go and see him, and we're sitting in his office and he looks at it and he starts giving me options what I'm supposed to do. And all of a sudden, he says to me, "We need to go through chemotherapy." And I thought to myself, you're a big Christian of 40 years, faith, hyper faith from America, and everybody tells you that you need to, you know, to face your problems with faith. And I started thinking, and I started asking the questions to the doctor, "Professor, what happens if I don't do anything?" And I said, "I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in miracles. What happens if I decide not to go through chemotherapy?" And the guy looks at me and says, "If you don't go through chemotherapy," remember, he's speaking from the medical point of view. He doesn't know God. He says, "If you don't go through chemotherapy, within 6 months, you are going to die a miserable death." And I thought to myself, as he was talking to me, I thought to myself, "Lord, what should I do here?" Now, you have to understand that the Word of God, there's the Rhema Word, which is a specific Word of God for us, for a particular situation, and then you have the Logos, the general Word of God. And we need to know the difference here, because unless we know the difference, we could be dead. God wants us to live, but unless we know the difference, we are going to be dead. So it's important to be obedient to God and know the Word of God. And so very quickly, I was thinking in my mind, I was saying, God, you haven't really spoken to me of how in this situation that you're going to deliver me, that you're going to heal me. And I said, Lord, because you've not spoken, what happens if I die, if I decide not to go through chemotherapy, and I die, and then all of a sudden, my two girls, I've got two beautiful girls and three grandchildren and my wife, I said, they will look at me and say, Dad has been talking to us about, you know, faith in God, but he said that God was going to heal him, and all of a sudden he's dead. And through my mind it went, what if I got it wrong? And because I got it wrong, my girls will lose their faith in God, and my wife will lose her faith in God. So it didn't take me long. I said, okay, God, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to proceed to do this exactly. And so what I did, I said to the doctor, I said, Doctor, where do I have to sign? I said, but I want you to remember one thing. And he says, what's that? I said, I'm glad that you are on the team, I said, but I want you to know that I want Jesus to be the head of your team. Amen. He looked at me, probably thought I was crazy anyway. Probably has seen hundreds of patients. But I said, I'm glad. I said, I will let you deal with me through chemotherapy. Jesus is the head, and you are the team, and your doctors and your team will just work out. He looked at me, probably thought, this guy here is absolutely stupid. He's absolutely gone. So I went then to the hospital. The following day, I went to the hospital. I got admitted to the hospital. And, you know, they went through lots of tests. And here I am, just a picture for a few moments, that I'm in hospital now, and I see lots of patients. I went into this ward, and you had other people with similar issues. And then they brought this guy from New Caledonia. He was on my left-hand side. And this guy here started going through painful experiences, and he was just making noises because the pain was so great. And during the night, every half hour, the nurses and the doctors came to inject him with morphine to ease the pain. So I couldn't go to sleep because even the nurses, you know, if you think that you're going to have some rest in hospital, think again. Every 2 hours they come to check your blood pressure and your sugar, diabetes and so forth. And so I couldn't go to sleep. So I said, what am I going to do now? I'll tell you what I'm going to do now. I had, my phone. And so I went through YouTube. I used the hospital's internet, by the way. And I started listening to healing scriptures and Christian songs. So I lift up my spirit, and all of a sudden, must have spent about 2 or 3 hours, and then I fell into prayer. And right around about 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, I said, Lord, what am I doing here? I don't feel any pain. Have you ever heard a sick man saying that he's sick? Have you ever heard a mad man saying that he's mad? I thought, Lord, I don't feel any pain. And in fact, I didn't feel any pain. I said, what am I doing here? I said, look at the guy, you know, next to me. He's been crying all night because of pain. But me, I haven't got any pain. I said, what am I doing here? And I heard in my spirit God saying to me, Tony, I know why you're here. But I want you to understand that you got hope in your heart. I said, you look at these people here. They haven't got hope in their hearts. And yet they're going through terrible and horrible pains. And at that moment, when I heard that, I sensed the presence of God, and I started crying for about 20 minutes or so. And I understood, I said, God, if you want me to share the gospel with any of these patients, then I will do it. You open the door and I'll do it. Not only here, but also I want to go to hospitals and just preach the gospel and tell them how wonderful you are. And I want to tell you that during that period of time, that I was able, during that first week, I was able to talk to doctors and nurses. They probably thought, this guy here is absolutely gone. But started sharing the gospel with them. Sometimes even some of the nurses, at 2 o'clock in the morning when they came to check the blood pressure and so forth, I said, how are you with God? And this nurse from Wollongong said, I'm agnostic. I said to her, this is a conversation about 2 a.m. in the morning now. And I said, oh, you must be taking chances. I said, you're sitting on the fence. So if there is God, you go with God. If there is no God, you're okay. I said, you need Jesus. To cut a long story short, I've had a second conversation with her and I tried to go easy on her the second time, but I hope she got the message. But some of the nurses, they just, received the gospel and received, New Testaments. And this Greek couple, she got a Bible and we prayed for them as well. Not in Greek, just in English. And so I want to tell you that I was in hospital for 3 weeks, not at the same time, not consecutively, but 3 weeks every 2 months or 3 months. And each time I had an opportunity to talk to people about God. And I was blessed because I was able to do that. Now, I want to tell you that when Jesus is with us in the boat, that everything is going to go well. I didn't know if I was going to live, but I trusted in God. And the reality was that there was this guy like me who in the morning, I went through Bible devotions and I opened up my Bible next to my bed and people, the other patients, they just came and said, what are you doing? I said, I'm reading the Word of God. And this guy here who came from Croatia, he said, you're wasting your time. And I said, my friend, I'm not wasting my time. I said, where are you going to go when you die if you've got no hope in your heart? And just with a smirk, when you talk to people, it was with a bit of a smirk. It's like, this is bad. But we know who we are in Christ. And so I was able to share the gospel and give out Bibles. And I've had a number of experiences with them. And only a couple of times I felt a little bit sick, not well. But the rest of the time, I was just as normal. Some people lose, they don't feel like eating whilst they're going through the treatment. But me, instead of losing my appetite, I was increasing my appetite. And I had two appetites, one for food and one for the Word of God. And that's what I kept on doing. And during this time, there's only missed church twice because there was difficult. And I thank God to my Greek assistant pastor, Steve, who during this time, he said, Tony, whatever you need, I'm here for you. And I said, thank you so much. So what happened after, I don't really want to go too long, but I'll have to say this because it's good. So what happens nearly 20 months after I've received the terrible news? The storm is over now because God has taken me through the storm and out of the storm. And some of you have commented how handsome I look. Right? I've still got my hair, although some of the hair is going. My wife says, why don't you cut your hair short so that people won't be able to sort of see. Listen, I am who I am. So 20 months after the terrible news, I feel extremely good. And I thank God for the way that I feel. I feel strong. And I feel much more encouraged to go and preach the gospel. Because now I've looked at the storm, I went through the storm, I went out of the storm, and I'm here with you preaching the gospel. Hallelujah. Amen. Soon after, the professor said to me, actually, he was a very funny man, very intelligent man, but very funny man. When I got discharged from the hospital, he said, "Hey, Tony, I think God is good now with you." I said, "What for?" He says, "Because now you're going to give him less troubles because you're going home." And I said, no, you got it wrong there, Professor. I said, "I want you to know that God is with me in good times and bad times, and he will continue to be with me." Yeah, and guess what? God is after you as well. Why don't you give your heart to God? So anyway, we just came through, and after the second or third visit, the professor says to me, "Tony, do you mind if you just give your experience to the medical students?" I said, "No, okay. I recognize what God has done through you, and it'll be a pleasure for me to actually talk to the students." So here I am, the time came, and I'm confronted with about 60 students, medical students, beautiful people. And I try to relate my story with them. Of course, they ask questions about the physical part, you know. How did I handle it? And I wanted to tell them, stop asking these silly questions. I'll tell you how I handled it. I love Jesus. Right? I could not say that. So before I went there, I prayed and I said, "God, I need the Holy Spirit here just to guide me and lead me how I can talk to these people." I said, "These are intelligent people. These are fantastic people." And so I started and I said, "Look, I know why you're here. You're here because in your heart you really want to help people. And I thank God for you. I thank God for the medical doctors and the professor and everybody. Thank God that we have good hospitals here in Australia and that we have good doctors. And even though we believe in God, we also have to recognize the fact that God is using doctors to help us, the Christians." And so I said to them, and then there was one question from the back of the room. This guy here said, "You know, Tony, you said that you believe in God. How do you reconcile the fact that some of the doctors, they don't believe in God?" I said, "Okay, Holy Spirit, help me." So all of a sudden I said, "Listen, this is the way that I look at it. Man is spirit, soul, and body. What the medical doctors, even though they do not believe in God, because they've studied the anatomy, the body, they know exactly how to fix the body. But the doctors cannot fix the spirit of man and the soul of man." And I thought, "Man, this is great. Thank you, Holy Spirit." Because I hadn't thought of that beforehand. And so I said, "I really thank God." I went out of that room and I felt so good because God had thrown seeds into their hearts. And so what's happening now is that then I decided to actually do a chaplaincy course, or a short course anyway. And the chaplaincy course, it allows me to go into hospitals and help people. Now, of course, when you go to hospitals, you can't talk about Jesus, but I'll tell you what, we can throw the Word of God in. We can throw a psalm or two. And so I was waiting for a long time to go into hospitals, and I didn't get a call. And then some people told me that I need to ring up the hospitals. So I will ring up the hospitals in the coming weeks. But lo and behold, I get a phone call from the Dream School, from the ACC Dream School coordinator. And they said, "Listen, we have an opening for a chaplain in the school in Kingsgrove." And I said, "Are you interested in it?" I said, "Of course I'm interested in it." And I said, "Well, it's a two-day a week job, which you know we fund." And I said, "Listen, I'd like to go into schools without even getting paid, right?" But they said, "Okay, we'll try and arrange an interview." So the interview is going to be this coming Wednesday. So pray for me that I will go into that school at the interview, and by God's grace, if they allow me, I'll be able to go in there and help and assist some of the young people. Do you realize that one of the greatest needs that we have here in Australia is young people? because of, pardon the French, because of the same-sex marriage vote and so forth, there's going to be so much confusion in the schools where people don't know if they're male or female. And these crazy gender theories that come from, you know, the left Marxism theories, that they are going to throw so much confusion. But you know what? I want to be there. I know I cannot tell people, listen, Jesus is the answer. But I'm praying that if God opens his door, I'm praying that God will be able to, through my testimony, that they will ask questions. And I will let them know what it means to know God, and that God loves them, that Jesus loves them. And that God didn't make a mistake the way that he has made them. God never makes a mistake. The problem is that the enemy comes and throws everything into disarray. And now I need to trust God more and have more faith and trust in him, just like you need as well. And in whatever we do, and I'll try and finish with this, we need to understand that God is in control. If you have given your heart to God and you have made a decision to be a disciple of Jesus, I want to tell you, I have problems with people when they call themselves Christians. I've got a big problem. I thought that, yeah, when somebody says, I'm a Christian, I thought, great, he's accepted Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you that Jesus didn't come to call us to be Christians. God has called us to become his disciples. And the disciples simply means that we are follower of Jesus. And Jesus said to the disciples, as he tells us, you cannot follow me unless you deny yourself. You take up your cross and you follow me. That means storms of life. That means that we will be rejected at one time or another because we proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you, with Jesus is always good. And so we need to trust him. We need to love him. And I now recognize even more than yesterday that everything in this life is vain. When you're sitting in the hospital by yourself and you know that your life can go like that, you realize that nothing matters. Not the material things, not your relationships, nothing. It's only you and God. And we need to get this message out that God loves people. The biggest problem that we have is that, you know, in Australia, there's one of the biggest suicide rates among young people. And we need to put that message out. And so the wisest man on earth, King Solomon, says, everything is vain. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. So the reason why I'm saying this is because each one of us, we need to focus on the things that really matter. Christ matters more than anything else. Our relationship with Christ matters more than anything else. I haven't done philosophies, but I'll tell you what, I have studied history and I love ancient history. And like the Greeks and the Romans, they have their own mythologies. Or some who come from Africa or from India, they have their own sort of culture, Hinduism and witchcraft and all this sort of stuff. Listen, we need to clarify that Jesus Christ is the only one who needs to be worshipped and who has to be worshipped. Everything else is absolute rubbish. And then in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, 13 and 14, he says, the conclusion, when all has been heard, is, listen carefully, fear God and keep his commandments. Because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. Everything. I want to encourage you this morning to keep looking to Jesus. You're going to have storms in your life. They come in different sizes and shapes, but make sure that Jesus is in the boat with you. Make sure that He is in control. And whatever problem or situation you're going through, God is for you, not against you. And God loves you, He cares for you, but He wants your obedience and my obedience. We can't fluff around anymore. We cannot just muck around being filled with pride and self-conceit and selfishness. I know these words perhaps are not used in church anymore, but I want to tell you these are real things that actually can kill us. And we need to humble ourselves before God. We need to be submitted under authority, the authority of God and the authority of those who are actually that God has put before us. And then we need to humbly walk with God. That's how we can go through the storm, by having the correct attitude, the correct infilling of God's word inside our hearts, and being obedient to the word of God. Praise God. I hope that this has encouraged you. And I'm going to give the meeting to the pastor. But if anybody wants prayer after the close of the meeting, you're welcome, and I'm happy to spend as much time as you want. God bless you. Thank you.